This morning, Dee had in the notes we all get each morning that this is her favorite day of the week because we gather for fellowship. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Please turn to in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 36, and I'll be reading down through verse 29a. "Therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, it is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I give your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all uncleanliness." And then Jesus' prayer in John 14. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live in you. Also, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, that you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend us to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and I will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, but they belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid."
Well, I must say that this is probably going to be a very uplifting experience considering how close my words are all of a sudden. So thank you very much for your hard work. Wow, this is even, it's more probably good that I just have a good grip on this thing now. So I don't know how, oh, that's all stable. Okay, good. Anyway, it is such a good treat. I got to just say, it is so refreshing to come here on Tuesday evenings to be with you. And it really is a treat not only for me, but for my spirit, as I just have this opportunity to share God's word with you. So thank you very much for your continued invitations. And it's so heartfelt, and I'm just thankful for that. And I guess you probably had a message. Did you have a message on Pentecost Sunday last Tuesday? No? Okay. Guess what? I was going to say, because if you did, and you hear one twice, you better pay attention, because God wants something out of us, right? But we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit tonight, and because Pentecost Sunday was on June 8th, so on Sunday, and the reason for Pentecost Sunday is that the reason we celebrate it is because it signifies a few things about the Holy Spirit, about God. And for one, it is the coming of His Spirit. Just as Jesus had promised His disciples, His Spirit arrived and was in moving. The coming of the Holy Spirit, and there was also the moving of the Spirit, which was witnessed through fire and wind. And this weekend, I was out with some kids, and I'll get into this story a little bit in a bit, but we were sitting there talking about the Holy Spirit, and the wind was coming through the trees, and we said, that wind is kind of a significance of the Spirit moving in the midst of His people, and it's always been that way. Through the history of God's moving, is the wind has been a significant thing. So when you feel that wind, think of God's Spirit, not only just moving around the world, but moving in our hearts. And a testament to his promises. And lastly, it was the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because after that movement, after that descending upon the people, it says that Peter got up and spoke to the people, where just a few weeks before he was cursing the name of Jesus, saying, I do not know Him. And then he is speaking the truth of Jesus Christ. And as a result, 3,000 people that day responded to the message, the call to follow Jesus, and believed and were baptized. A testament to God's moving, not just through Peter, but in the lives of those that were listening and hearing, and they responded. So what a great thing to celebrate. And lovely message, or just that scripture we read today in that song, creating me a new heart, oh God. It was Psalm 51, a plea from David. If any king in Israel ever knew the presence of God, the Spirit descended, moving, and living in one, it was David, brought up from such a lowly background to be the king of Israel, raised up by God. But because of his sin and his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, he was confronted with that, and that's where the psalm comes from. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Lord, do not leave me. Because he knew the value of God's presence in his life. And he loved the Lord. So what a great psalm to be thinking of and reading today as we speak of the Holy Spirit. So you'll know that tonight's scriptures come from two different places. One is from the Old Testament, Ezekiel, and one's from New Testament, the book of John. And if your Bible is anything like mine, the pages from Ezekiel are not smudged and dirty from thumbprints, but the ones from John are. And I get it, because it's some of those prophecies are hard, right? And we're not as accustomed, we're a little more distant from those times and those words, but they both speak the truth of God, which is that He is alive and He moves amongst His people, and the Spirit is an imperative or a very important part of that. And we need to remember that we are a part of that movement. You and I are here tonight because God's Spirit moved in our lives. Great reminder that so many of us were moved by God's Spirit at summer camp when we were able to feel and experience the evidence of God in our lives. And we took that stand to say, I will follow Jesus, or I will continue, or it deepens our faith walk. Summer camps are a critical part of so many kids' lives. So let's continue to pray for them as well. I want to start off by, and both these scriptures, remember, do a couple things. One is, those scriptures bring hope to us. They brought hope to the people of Israel who were coming out of exile. We're going to be coming out of exile. And then to the disciples who were at that pivotal part of their relationship with Jesus when he was talking about leaving and dying, and their whole world was just coming apart. Their minds were What do we do? And he reminded them that his Spirit would be with them. So they bring in of hope and the assurance to each and all his people. And we need to read into that to realize that his Spirit is there saying to us, and you can have hope too. The assurance that I am with you. That I am with you. I want to just talk about Ezekiel just for a moment because it speaks of, I mean, and there's depth to these scriptures that we're just touching really just a few little spots here. But I think it's important that we take a little time to look, and I encourage you to read these scriptures maybe when you get home or maybe over the next few days and just pray that God would reveal or God would show you what he's really speaking of and how it pertains to your life, your situation. Maybe you're experiencing some unsettledness. Maybe you don't really know how to trust God. Well, read these scriptures and allow them to speak into your life and allow them to do a work that leads us closer to him. So Ezekiel, as I said earlier, was written at a time when the people of Israel were in exile. They were away from the promised land. They were really a broken people, almost an invisible people. The nation that had put them into exile was so big, so vast, so powerful, that really, from a human perspective, they should have just disappeared. They were nothing. They were insignificant, and yet God kept them in his sight. His plan was not for them to just disappear, but rather for them to come to a place of changed heart so he could do a work in them, through them, not for their sake, but to glorify God. Now, they were the beneficiaries of God's work. They were the beneficiaries of God's moving because he was going to take them back to his land. So it says in Ezekiel that my Spirit is going to do a work. And there was just kind of three things that I want to bring to our attention. First, it was going to be a work of regeneration. It says in there, I'm going to turn their hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. In a way, he says, I'm going to melt you. I'm going to put you in the refiner's fire, not to torment you, but so that you experience my regeneration, my change of your heart. Because the people were a people of hearts of stone. They would not listen to God's word anymore. They would not acknowledge God humbly. They were using God as a weapon. But they were no longer in relationship with him. Their hearts had become hardened. And God says, I'm going to do this work. He's not saying you need to do this. He says, I am going to do this work in your life. I am going to make your hearts of flesh. I will soften you. And this is going to be my work of regeneration. This is the same thing that he did as they came out of captivity in Egypt. And time again, God has brought his people through times of hard-heartedness and regenerated them, giving them a new start, a fresh start. So the Spirit of God is about doing a work of regeneration. And friends, I hope we can all acknowledge that he has done that work in our lives and will continue to do it. No one is so far from God that he can't do a work in their lives. I was not so bad that he couldn't and can't do a work in my life. He wants us to experience new life, to know new life, the life that he brings. So the Spirit of God would do a work of regeneration. The second thing in Ezekiel, it's going to do a work of restoration, because he wasn't only just going to change their hearts, but he was going to restore them back into being a people in the promised land. That seemed to be, both of these things seemed to be almost impossible. How does a people with no power, no anything, no influence, who are invisible, who are just a people of grief, really, because they long for to be restored. But how do they do that? And yet God does a work in Cyrus's heart, and he sends them back to their promised land. He gives them the resources to rebuild and to become reestablished there through the work of God's Spirit. So the work is doing, and he's bringing his people to come together to become this community of believers, coming together in a place of belonging and hope. You know, this is us tonight. We have come together as a community of believers. Why are we here? Because we're united in Christ. The moving of his Spirit within us, living with us, abiding with us. And isn't that good news? We should find joy in gathering together. But it's not just us. It's all believers around the world. Different cultures. Different nationalities. Knowing Christ. Being known by Christ. And then the Spirit does something else. It says, I'm going to do a work of obedience in your life. I am going to help you walk in my ways. Obeying my commands. Now, this is not him putting a thumb on us, but is saying, I'm going to help you walk in right relationship with me and with others. This is God's promise for us, that he would help us to walk with him in his ways. Because we are a short-sighted, fallible people. We fall short. We forget. And yet he says, I am going to do this work. And I'm going to do it in front of the whole world so that they will know that I'm a God of love. I'm a God of graciousness. And I'm a God of regeneration, restoration, and obedience. See, God wants us to walk with him. He doesn't want us to fall into the trap of just being living in comfort and saying, I'm just going to do enough. I'm going to do the bare minimum. He does this so that we keep our eyes on God. That's why it's so important for us to remember this. So we keep our eyes on God and keep our eyes off of ourselves.